Oh, it's a special day here, Roo. We've got to work this morning and the wag's yellow all of a sudden.
Orange. Triple M orange.
McGarry Metal Knights.
Oh, right. Yeah, get a spray tan.
Yes.
Get all dark.
You meant to get them about three days out,
aren't you? We had one day of sun and she's gone brown.
Oh, amazing.
That's natural.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the girls would have been out tanning yesterday.
Good luck to Crossy tonight, Joel Cross.
Could he
be a three-time McGarry medalist?
Yeah. It's Allen, is it? Jimmy Allen. Jimmy Allen and Barry Robren.
Yeah.
Lindsay
Head.
Is that the only three?
No, Len Fitzgerald.
Fitzy.
Yeah. Sturt.
Anyone else?
Now you're testing me. I'm sure there is. Who else is there?
Triples.
Oh, Bob Hank.
Bobby Hank.
Oh, he was two times. Sorry, he was two.
Yeah. Not many threes.
No.
Anyway, we'll see what happens tonight. There's a couple of boys.
No, there was 1-4.
Russ. Uncle Russ.
Yeah.
Big night tonight for the McGarry Medal.
So the wag will be laid in tomorrow morning, as usual.
And drunk.
Yeah.
Or hungover. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to produce the show as normal. Just make sure Mel gets here, Mel. You make sure you get here so Ditz don't have to push the buttons and produce.
Yeah. Now, Roo, coming up today, Rory Sloan is going to join us.
Sloaney!
Your mom's gone to the Gold Coast.
He'll be on a bloody ride at the show.
What
up there?
Preparation's this for trying to win a premiership?
Hey, well, it's a very unusual lead into a prelim final. I think that's what they had to think outside the square. What can we do?
Right.
We've got so long.
Quite seriously, that'd be an expensive exercise, wouldn't it, for the
yes,
club? I
not
presume
cheap.
The club has to fund it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it has to go in the soft cap as well.
So spending in the football department?
Yes.
And
if,
right.
So if you go over the cap, you have to pay luxury tax, which is basically double. So, could be expensive. But we'll go into that later because it is an unusual place to be. Pete Helly is going to join us. The Angels are going to join us as well. And Ditz, I heard a little rumour you might have got stitched up yesterday.
There was a little prank played on me yesterday by the boss out of Melbourne, actually.
I think, Mel, just grab your mic for a minute. I think early stages are that he's recovered from his...
looking much more chipper.
He's got a smiling face today. Yesterday it was like one of the Dittmar family died.
Yeah, well, it was like that.
It was like that. We could not get a smile out of you yesterday, and now you're back. You've got the 24-hour rule going on in your...
Well, I was all right until about 3 minutes ago, right? Before we walked on air, Roo's just dropped a stool on my little toe, and I've definitely got a broken toe, so... I wasn't laughing then, I can tell you.
You're laughing now. It's good to have you back, Ditz, because we lost you for a day.
Look, just quickly, the boss from Melbourne yesterday rang me up, and it was Roo's idea, apparently.
Oh, I don't know about that.
And he started getting in, he goes, oh, look, you know, you call on the weekend. He said, a bit obvious that you're a port man, I went, oh, really? Gee, I thought I was professional. But yeah. No. So it was quite evident early that when West Coast kicked a few goals, you dropped your bundle a bit and... Yeah, you had the world on your shoulders. And he went on and on, and I thought, oh. And he said, in fact, I've got to think long and hard about using you in future. I went, oh, crikey.
That cut deep.
I know. But anyway, it was funny.
He got me. You're going to have to start getting some people back, kids.
It's a long list.
You owe a few people.
Tex was on my list.
Good. All right.
Ruined it's off and running here thanks to Southern Volkswagen down at Ranella. 610 ruined. It's here on Triple M. What's making news around the place, Roo?
Oh, the old Henley Beach parking meters, Ditz. They've been canned, so the council down there put them in.
So the residents have won.
Residents complained hard, real hard, over the weekend, and they decided to pull them. So the residents have got their way. They didn't like the fact they were going to be charged $2 an hour for a maximum of 2 or 3 hours down there when it's been free for... forever.
Wow.
So they've spoken and they've got their way. So I think they're pulling them out or have pulled them out.
Right.
Which is a win for the public.
Yeah, so, I only sort of half looked at that story when it was happening, but is it too much to ask that you pay $2 to park or not?
I didn't think it was because you pay everywhere, don't you?
Yeah.
Maybe, they just, think they shouldn't have to down there and because they never have, but there's not a lot of car parks down there. So if you're not paying for it, you just stay there for ages, wouldn't you? And I think that's what the businesses down there thought. They wanted turnover. They wanted people to go and have to leave in a few hours or move it in a few hours so they get new
customers.
People in instead of someone going there, parking and being there all day. So
okay.
But anyway, they've buckled and pulled them out.
Mm.
Even the Magpies ate cane corns at the moment.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well,
don't pick on Kane.
I'm not picking on Kane. No, I'm not picking on him. The bloody Magpies are picking on him. Not
What's
me.
Happened?
I didn't peck him in the ear.
What's
he
happened?
He went for a run along Linear Park. He'd been running with Jess Trengove because he's doing a marathon soon. And Jess said, go through that section there at your own peril, because there's magpies are swooping through there.
Right. And
Kane, like most footballers, thought, oh, bloody, you know, I'm not worried about a bird. And got him and landed and smacked him on the ear. And, blood dripping from his ear.
That would hurt, wouldn't it? Tell me this. I mean, I've been swooped a lot by magpies, but they've never actually landed. Do they? Is it their claws that they get you with or their beak?
Well, I think it's the beak, isn't it?
Is it? Okay.
I would have thought it was the beak. Mm. But the claws could definitely get you as well. They wouldn't be able to get you, dude. You'd be too fast.
Too
for them.
Quick.
Too quick. Like a ninja, like trying to catch a ninja. So Kane's been done. And we're going to chat to Rory Sloan a little bit later on. They're up the Gold Coast for a couple of days. And Tredders was on the Channel 9, I think, yesterday, and said he didn't think that they should be up there.
Don't like it.
And don't
I'm,
like it.
No, I'm a bit of a traditionalist with this. If you're playing good footy, you don't mess with your routine. And the big bit is, I heard you say before in the report, one game in 26 days. This gives Sydney and Geelong coaches some ammunition. When you're looking at these guys at Dreamworld having a wow of a time while you're preparing, the first thing these coaches will come out, and they won't say it publicly, is they're going to say this team's not switched on. And players really do rely on routine, so I'd limit the distraction.
Garbage, Tredders.
How many other Port people are you going to pick on
garbage.
This morning?
What?
How many other Port people are you going to have a crack at this morning?
Oh, I'm not picking on. I'm just...
Hang on, Kane and Tredders. Is Gavin all right today or not?
Gav's good. Yeah. Gav's coming to one night in September.
Okay.
So I'm not picking on Gav until one night in September. No, but they've got a unique situation where they've got 15 days between games and one game in a long, long time.
If they just...
Yeah, it's a bit cold down there.
Yeah, but no, look, I'm not trying to stir things here. No. I can see why Tredders would say that, though. It is a bit different for a team to go to the Gold Coast. Mm. It's not usual.
No, it's not usual. But last year, the two sides that won that first week, it's got rolled in that next game, because if you just keep training for the same stuff for 15 days, you do get it's a bit mundane, isn't it? You're not really. So they're going up there to have some sun. They're still training up there. They're not going up there and going out to the nightclubs and carrying on up there. They're training and recovering, having a few days together, bonding, and then they're training flat out up there today. They'll train when they get back on Thursday. So it's not like they're, on their footy trip.
I mean, you don't think it's tiring travelling? You know, after you... I know it's only a couple of hour flight. I understand that. Yeah. But there is a big rigmarole with checking out of your hotel, get on a bus, get the airport. It's like an all-day exercise, isn't it?
There's also a bit of fun laying around, you know, going to the beach and going to the pool and having fun for 3 days as well and, you know, a little break. So that's what they've chosen to do. And I guess the results will prove whether it's wrong or right in a couple of weeks.
Keep stirring the pot, Tredders.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what's making news around the place. Ruined it's here on Triple M. Hey, in a moment, we're going to hear from Mick Molloy. Is he up and about and happy at the moment?
The next billion seconds are the most important in human history as technology transforms the way we live and work. The smartphone, barely a decade old, has given billions access to information and capacities they've never had before. It's changing what we can do, and it's changing the shape of the future. So what does that future look like? Hi, I'm Mark Pesce, the host of The Next Billion Seconds, a new show on Podcast One. Join me as I speak to some of the brightest minds shaping that world, the people who are spending their lives forming that future. We'll hear about their work in helping shape those next billion seconds. Listen at podcastone.com.au. or on the Podcast One app.
Mick Molloy joins Ruin Dits.
Guys want to be me, girls want to do me. I'm Mickey.
Hey, Roo, just breaking news here from the AFL this morning.
Yes.
Rule change. They bring in for the prelim final. If you fend off with a straight arm out, it's a free kick against you. I don't know why they brought this in, but apparently if you fend off, you will be
done.
You're an
idiot.
You'll be deported. You're never allowed
to play
again.
Right now, Roo. Give him one right now.
Are you sober yet or what?
How about those Tigers?
I've got to tell you, 35 years, 36 years of going to the G to watch football, that's as good as it gets. That last quarter was amazing. Haven't seen anything like it. What a tribe to be part of, walking through the streets of Richmond from my house, just watching everyone gather momentum, and then you walk to the greatest outdoor cathedral in the history of the world. This verdant green sitting in the heart of Melbourne, a stage for Giants. And then the Tigers came out in front of 95,000 and pants. Hey, highly respected opposition. One of the great nights. Went straight home, watched the replay. I've watched it three times. I couldn't be happier. We set up hotline at the studio, guys, and we had some people. I knew I'd get some feedback from Richmond fans. Here's what I found on my answering machine when I came to work.
We did it, Mickey! Woo-hoo-hoo! Two more to go! Woo-hoo-hoo! Mickey, you f***ing legend! Go to the f***ing Tigers! We're happy about this year, son! It's out! Go to Tigers!
And everyone from my school has been giving me stick. They said Richmond's going to lose in straight sets, and we stuck it right up him.
Go Tigers!
Mick, what a game, what a night, what a crowd, what a performance. Mate, we lift the lid off that joint in the last quarter or what?
Mickey, I can't talk anymore. We're going to win the fight.
Go Tigers.
They're an articulate bunch.
No, they're quite academic when you come down. There's a little cross-section of the hoi polloi down there at the Richmond Football Club. Wasn't exciting. We had two guys on our show today who are in. One guy who he dislocated his shoulder high-fiving.
He must have given it a fair old whack.
He did. So, and then he got taken down to St John's Ambulance. They said they couldn't put it back in. He had to go to hospital. He talked one of the Ambos into popping it back in, went upstairs and watched the end of the game.
Oh, guts.
We spoke to another Richmond supporter calling from Warragul Hospital who gave himself a hernia. He was shouting so hard. Had to be taken from the ground in an ambulance. We spoke to him today. He was groggy going, I'd do it all again, Mickey. I'd do it all again. Isn't it amazing? I got one of my very good friends, right? He's involved in the SAS. He's one of the bravest soldiers the world has ever seen. And he's a Richmond fanatic, and he sent me I can't even find it now. he sends me this text just before the game from overseas. Done some dumb shit overseas before, but nothing has me shitting myself more than a Tigers final. This is one of the guys who's the bravest man in the world. Even the Tigers can reduce him. So anyway, I can't tell you how great it was. I was sitting there, five doors down was my nephew Ollie, who's 17, and at the age of four, I took him to his very first game of football, having already bought him his first Richmond kit before he was too old to know how bad that was going to be for him for a long time. Had to see him there, the bloke I go to the footy with for 35 years, see 95,000, raise the roof, and the temperature there at the MCG was one of the truly great sporting experiences.
I mean, that song is one of the best songs going around, and sort of finally you've got a chance to sing it with some gusto at the right time, Mick. It was so loud, wasn't it, in the last quarter, wasn't it?
It was great. And to do it to Geelong too, who has sort of terrorised us over the years, I don't think any team in the AFL has given us more whoopings than Geelong over the journey. So now, there was so much to like. The captain was good. Dusty was great. Everyone chipped in. The greatest quarter of football I've ever seen.
Mick, you mentioned the bloke you've been going to the footy with for 35 years, but there was a lady sitting next to you who looked a bit like Liz Hurley. Who was that?
Oh, just
a girl. Just happens every week, doesn't it?
Well, no, I've got to be careful because, that's my girlfriend.
Come on.
I have to be careful because it's a long time, but I won't tell it today.
No, you've got it now.
No, I can't. No.
You've got it.
That's off air story.
All right.
Oh. It's an off air story. No,
we'll decide if it's off air.
No, it's good. So
let's go to an Adelaide.
What about
quick,
Adelaide?
Quick,
mate? Quick. When will we run into Adelaide?
In the granny, mate. Yeah.
In the granny?
In the granny.
On the G?
On the G.
On the G. She's just going to test you.
Test us? Test
you. You'll have to get over Sydney first, won't you?
We might rest players in the granny.
Oh, I'd like to see that.
No, looking forward to it, Mick.
No, it'll
let's
be
get
great.
Through the prelims first, eh?
We'll be right.
All right, Mick, we'll let you go. Hey, on Thursday, I want you to tell us a story. We've heard something about the pinball machine at Triple M over there. It's been confiscated. I want you to tell us all about
the war.
Right,
this is massive.
All right. Thanks, Mick. We'll talk to you then.
Okay.
See you, Mick.
104.7 Triple M. Ruined its overnight sports.
Buy four, get more at Nexus Tires today.
Roo, plenty of people talking about Ken Hinckley leaving Port Adelaide. Now, it started over the weekend. There was a bit of a chat about it with Mark Evans, the CEO of Gold Coast, flying into Adelaide.
And some people were just saying the only reason he was here to see Sam Mitchell potentially last game.
Now, a lot of the footy shows on TV last night talking up the fact that Ken Hinckley may go to the Gold Coast. Well, now, he's got a year to run on his contract at Port Adelaide.
Mm-hmm.
Koshy has said he wants him to stay. Mm-hmm. Keith Thomas says he wants him to stay. And I reckon, look, he's got unfinished business from where I sit. I think he would be excited by the young squad he's got and with what he saw on the weekend, even though they didn't win. I don't know. I would have thought he'd be keen to stay here, but I'm guessing, I'm speculating.
Yeah, so the footy shows were saying that the Gold Coast are going to come for him. They're saying the Gold Coast want him.
Right.
No one's saying that Ken wants to go to the Gold Coast. We don't know anything to do with that, but they're all saying that Gold Coast want an experienced coach. They know Ken Hinckley because he's been up there before, and they're going to come and ask the question, and they're going to offer him a long-term contract, perhaps a 4 or 5 year contract, which might be on big money. So what will happen is if Port don't offer him a longer term contract or, you know, at decent money, it's going to be like a player leaving, you know, potentially going to another club for bigger money. But all indications at Port Adelaide are that they're very happy with him and that he'll stay and he'll get offered an extension to the contract at some stage over the summer, which is what Ken wanted later on. The only reason they haven't re-signed him is because Ken didn't want to do it for a little while.
Right.
That's what everyone's saying. Anyway.
Well, let's hear from the Port CEO, Keith Thomas.
I think there's no prospect that Ken will be going anywhere. He'll be with Port Adelaide.
Well, that's pretty straight to the point. That's Keith Thomas, the CEO. Yep. So we'll wait and see how that plays out over the next week or two. But I know Gold Coast are starting interviews this week.
All right. As we know, the Crows are up on the Gold Coast, and we'll talk to Rory Sloan just after 7 o'clock. He'll join us and tell us what they're up to, which is great. Port Adelaide, just getting back to them, they would be starting their player reviews or their exit meetings, as they call them.
Yep.
A couple of players. Obviously, Jackson Trengo's in the news, so we'll find out, I think, within a couple of days what he's going to be up to.
Mm-hmm.
GWS, couple of issues there. Stevie Johnson apparently has a sore knee. Some would think he might be the automatic inclusion for Jeremy Cameron, who's been ruled out for the rest of the finals with a hamstring.
Yeah,
Stevie J under a bit of a cloud now.
Yeah, he's had a bit of a dodgy knee, I think, for most of the year. That's why he hadn't been able to do the training. But the big news out of that Thursday night game, no wonder Mumford didn't play too well against Big Sauce. He's got a fractured foot. So he is out as well. So two big men out, which is probably a good thing for him in some ways because they were too top heavy against the Crows. So they'll play the Eagles in a do or die final in a on Saturday night up there. I think West Coast are a big chance.
Mm.
And some people sort of thinking, will Nick Natanui play? Could he be a recall? I think it'd be a huge risk, but I'm sure they know better than anyone whether he's up for it.
All right. Fake tan everywhere you look this morning, Roo. McGarry Medal night at the Adelaide Oval. Now, Central's Nick Holman's a favourite. Nord's Matthew Panos, Mitch Grigg, and our boy Joel Cross looking at his third McGarry.
I think he'll come steaming home, Joel Cross.
Yep. SA Hall of Fame tonight as well, which we always look forward to, see who gets inducted. All kicks off at 7 p.m. and you can see it on 7, mate, from 9 o'clock tonight, the McGarry Medal. That is our look at sport, Roo. Buy 4 and get more at Max's Tyres today.
Roo and Ditts for breakfast. Triple M.
Hi, I'm Mark Boris. Every single day in Australia, people are busting their guts in starting and running their own businesses. It's a big deal. 60% of Australians are hired by small to medium-sized business owners. These guys are doing their bit, buying stock, hiring people, and paying their taxes. So what is it like to start your own business? How do you go from just running a business on the side after work to owning something much bigger? How do you make it your future? Join me on The Mentor, a weekly show on Podcast One where I speak to Aussie business owners who are working through just that. I find out what makes them tick. I help them work out their next steps for their growth and for their future.
The Mentor with Mark Burris. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
6:44, Ruined It's here on Triple M thanks to Southern Volkswagen at Ranella. Roo, a segment we're going to do right now. The world has gone mad.
Yep.
And a couple of candidates for it this week. First up, we had the Prime Minister holding his grandchild, having a beer, and of course, half the nation was up in arms.
All the weirdos.
Yeah.
No one normal would be having a go at him for taking his daughter, granddaughter, to the footy.
Yeah.
And having a beer at the same time.
Yeah, people talking about getting drunk in front of your grandchild. No, he had a beer at the footy. Might have had a couple, don't know. I don't think he was carried out. I don't think he was escorted out by police and evicted for drunk and disorderly.
No.
This is also un-Australian. To complain about a bloke having a beer, fair dinkum. And I'm so glad that even Bill Shorten came out and said, leave him alone.
Well, that was well done by Bill.
Of course it was.
That's the first time that agreed on on anything.
And what a great quote. He said, how about you just let him be a grandfather?
Don't we want our Australian prime ministers to actually go to the footy and have a beer?
Yeah, Bob Hawke's skulls
be normal.
And the crowd roars.
That's exactly. I think people just hate Turnbull.
Yeah.
Just find an excuse to pot him.
Spot on.
This is un-Australian. This is scary. I just can't believe this story on page 9 of the Advertiser about the granddaughter who stabbed to death her grandpa. Unbelievable stuff. Went to the house, shared breakfast, watched, he showed her photographs of her when she was a kid and videos of her and her brother when they were kids and having a look at all that, which you could picture that being an absolute beautiful moment with your grandpa and with your granddaughter and just having a fantastic time talking about that, sharing childhood memories. And then she has just grabbed the knife, which she'd premeditated, brought it in and stabbed him in the neck, stabbed him several times. And then he's asking her, what are you doing that for? Well, actually asking her after he'd stabbed her, she helps him get a Band-Aid or something to try and ease the bleeding. And then while he's sort of laying there dying, she starts doing the dishes and cleaning up while he's laying there bleeding.
You've got to be kidding.
And all doing this just to steal some money that he had stashed in his house. How could you possibly do that?
I know. These young girls travelled from Queensland, had obviously thought about this for a long, long time, planned it.
And what sort of plan was it? Yeah. Gee whiz. And how could you do it for bloody money? What the hell?
All right, another example of the world has gone mad. All right, I've got one here for you. This one pales a little bit after a story like that. But you might remember last week on the pressure test, we had this caller.
Is that an apprenticeship or do you just learn on the job? How does that work?
No, it's a 4-year apprenticeship.
It is.
Yep.
Right, hold a gun and spray paint. 4 years.
Yeah, it's more to it than that.
Exactly. How disrespectful
is that? Don't you just point it at the car and pull the trigger?
Yeah, right.
No, it doesn't happen that easily. There's a lot more to it than that.
What, you got to learn to put newspaper on the
Aaron,
windows?
Now that I've offended you, Tits has offended you.
Now,
Tits, you've gone mad.
Received a letter here.
You've gone mad. That was disgraceful.
This is from a listener. I believe Chris Dittmar was very inappropriate and potentially mentally harmful on the Friday show to the man who paints cars for a living.
I agree.
Chris Dittmar needs to apologise and be more respectful.
You do.
I'm very disappointed and will stop listening to the show if this happens again.
So will I too.
Listen,
I'll stop listening.
I was making the point. I was asking the question that the lad said, I'm a spray painter. Is it an apprenticeship? He said yes. It takes 4 years. I was amazed and stunned that it would take 4 years to learn to paint a car with a spray gun. 4 years. Now, I don't think I wasn't intentionally mentally harming the lad. I wasn't trying to scar him for life about his profession. And we all need spray painters out there.
There's you want no a doubt shovel or not?
Oh, come on, please. The world has gone mad. Look, to this lady, seriously, I was inappropriate and potentially mentally harmed the lad.
That was a bit of a stretch.
Bit of a stretch. This lady's mentally harming me by writing garbage like this.
Making you think twice about what comes out of your mouth.
Lord, that's gone crazy, seriously.
You maybe were a little bit underrating the ability to paint a car. But
it's like colouring in, isn't it? Surely. Like 4 years to learn to do that. What?
Coming from me and you who failed year 9 art.
Yeah, I know, but keep it within the lines. All right. Anyway,
let's take some calls.
The world has gone mad because. Please let us know any examples you've got for us, please.
Any spray painters out there?
Please ring me, spray painters. Please tell me how tough your job is. I want to know.
The world has gone mad.
1-333-1-333-53. Give us a ring, and we've got tickets to go to the SNFL. What, the grand final?
The finals. Finals. 4 tickets to the finals, which are on again this week and obviously next week. So give us a buzz. 1-333-53.
6:54, tell us why the world has gone mad.
Let's go to Mawson Lakes. G'day, Brad.
Addy, I was just reading this thing about these schools that let you choose your own gender now. So the boys can go into the girls' toilets and the girls can go into the boys' toilets.
Surely not.
Yeah, you can, yeah.
Where's this happening?
So when my daughter started going to school, one of the parents asked, is this one of these gender-friendly schools? And they said, well, I had to ask the question, like, what's a gender-friendly school? And they explained to me that some of the schools they could go into the girls' toilets and boys could go into the...
Jeez, you wouldn't have gone in trouble when you were a kid, did
Yeah.
You wouldn't have gone in trouble.
I had that excuse a while ago.
I'm just gender-friendly.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Hell. But, Roo, I'd heard a case 6 months ago, I reckon, of a school here in Adelaide where they're now saying to kids, when you fill out a form, it says male, female, other.
Yeah.
So they're giving kids the option to even, you know, in primary school to be transgender or neutral or whatever the right term is.
Undecided.
Undecided. Mm. Now, we can't say the world's gone mad because apparently that's what they need out there now. So, unbelievable. Changing
times. I
feel
like saying it.
What?
The world has gone mad if that's the case.
All right.
I'm allowed to say that.
So if I say to a little kid, are you a boy or a girl? And they go, neither. How do you answer that?
Very carefully. Your wife's text in, Dits. Kate, thank you, Kate. I would agree with the listener about the spray painter. Can't Dits see this and just apologise?
Oh, Kate, seriously. Get to work, will you?
Oh, no. God. Can't say that.
Can she start listening to another radio show?
You don't agree with
that? No, I don't.
You don't.
Look, all the spray painters out there, you do a great job, seriously.
Can't wait till you have a ding next time and you take your car to a paint shop. How that's going to come out. Little blotches everywhere.
Well, after learning on
not even matching the paint
for
properly.
For 4 years, they should be good at it. Crikey.
Oh,
ruined it.
Pressure test.
Ruined it. Thanks to Southern Volkswagen. Yes, $1,000 up for grabs.
Yep.
How many different spray paint colours are there? Triple M.
Triple M.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Pressure point!
Ruined it. $1,000 pressure test.
Oh, indeed. Now, we gave away a bit of money yesterday.
Yes,
we
did.
Let's see if we can get on a roll, Roo.
Yeah, exactly right. Let's go to Allgate. G'day, Benny.
Hey, how you going?
Good. How is it up in the hills?
Oh, I'm not up in the hills at the moment. I'm down in the city at work.
Beautiful.
What are you doing, Ben?
I'm a jeweller and I work for one of the oldest family-owned jewellery businesses in Adelaide.
Oh, name them. Let's give them a plug.
It's Archer and Holland in City Cross.
Okay.
You do wedding rings?
Do wedding rings, and we hand manufacture everything here.
Do you?
One of the few places in Adelaide still hand manufacturing.
Well done. Oh, I need a new wedding ring. I'll have to come in and see
you,
Benny.
You're not going round again?
Yep.
No, I lost it.
Okay.
Now everyone thinks I'm a dirtbag because I don't wear one around, so I need to get
that's
rid of
right,
that.
I don't wear one either.
Okay. Hey, ready to win $1,000 cash?
Hope so.
10 answers in 30 seconds will get it for you. Name 10 names or 10 nicknames for a toilet.
Bog, loo, crapper, pisser, outhouse, gents, whizzer. WC, water closet, public amenities.
let's count them up.
Ooh, this is tight.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Correct.
Oh, Benny, you did very, very well.
Yeah.
We thought that was hard. Real hard.
Now, hang on, Mel the button pusher. She's our expert here.
She's our Lou expert.
Give us your list there. What could you have had?
You said outhouse. We had throne.
Yeah.
Throne.
Dunny, Thunderbox, porcelain bus, smallest room in the house, little boy's room, little girl's room.
Yeah.
The can, the toot.
Yeah.
I don't think he had the...
Lou?
Shitter.
Yeah.
Oh. Ben, great effort though.
So
well done.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Good on you, mate. Now, what have we got for Ben? Hang on.
Oh,
I know. This is good too. The Angels live at Theberton Theatre, would you believe? Yeah. Friday, October 13. Now, tickets from ticketmaster.com.au. So, Ben, you'll enjoy that. That'll be fantastic.
Now, we usually have Tex Walker Tuesdays at just after 7, but he's coming in Thursday. So, we've got a little treat for you today. We've got Rory Sloane live from the Gold Coast.
Ruin Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Ruined it's for breakfast. And now, Roo, what? You've already won the flag, have you? You're that confident. You just want to, let's not train. Let's go to the Gold Coast.
Footy trip.
A footy trip.
Yeah, in what's wrong with that?
In the middle of finals. What's going on?
You've got to have fun, don't you, Ditch? You've got to enjoy life.
I want to find out more about this absolute superstar joins us now. Rory Sloane, good morning.
Morning, guys. A footy trip. You're kidding me, aren't you?
That's what Ditch is carrying on like an old pork chop down
Let's go to the Gold Coast. We've got a flag to win. I'll tell you what, let's go to the Gold Coast for a few
days. It's a recovery trip. This is about releasing the mind.
But haven't we got beaches here in Adelaide?
They're cold down here.
What's it all about, Rory?
No, well, you talk to me after I've done, I reckon, a pretty solid session today as well. So I won't be thinking too much recovery after this footy session, but that's it's good. Change of scenery and something that's, I think, going to refreshen us up, but we'll also get a bit of training in as well. So I think it's a bit of both there.
So run us through the things that are happening up there over the few days. What do Crow supporters want to hear that you're up to?
Plenty of relaxation, rejuvenation, which is, I suppose, a bit of massage, physio, bench workout, hand in hand with the big Texans. And then a few swims, and then as well a little bit of spare time. But then, as I said today, we'll do some pretty solid training while we're up here as well, which just all your normal footy stuff, really, but just in a different location and with a bit better weather, mind you. I think today's about 27 and sunny.
Beautiful. Now, will Tex have those budgie smugglers back on again today?
He's on the front page today and the worst pair of bathers I've ever seen. I hope you're handing out fines up there.
Weren't they putrid? I mean, put some boardies on, hey, Tex?
Terrible.
That's all we need, just a pair of boardies on.
Now, you're a bit of a surfer, Rory. Have you been able to get the board out up there or not?
Look, since I've got no appendix, I'm a bit afraid to go in the water. I'm not sure. That might have helped me swim, I think, and just keep afloat on the surfboard. So I haven't been out there yet, Ditch, but I'm still in a bit of recovery mode. So I'll wait probably another week or two before I jump back in the ocean.
How are your insides feeling? How far off 100% are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty much there. I'm pretty much at 100% today. I'll join in full training and basically run through the paces. But the beauty is we've got an extra couple of weeks for myself to get ready, which is very handy because it can still be a little sore and you can, I suppose, reopen the internal stitches and that kind of thing. So I've taken it a little easier since we've got the extra time.
What about going back to last Thursday night? Could you have, if you had another 24 hours, if the game was Friday or maybe Saturday, would you have played or was it never really going to be that close?
Maybe not. It's a really hard one. I'm more worried about the internal stuff and what the damage could have been if I had have overstretched or twist and turned in the wrong way. If I had have reopened or caused some internal damage, that was the main cause. It wasn't so much the pain. So maybe another couple of days, maybe another 3 days. I was probably still far off.
All right. Stay there if you can, Rory. More with Rory Sloane in just a moment. Rory, I want to get this done quick because he wants to get the movie world, apparently.
Yeah, exactly.
No, thank you.
Yeah. More with Rory Sloane on Triple M.
10 trips, 10 days, one battle. The Foo Fighters, live in California.
Hello, Tim Roll from the Foo Fighters.
Woohoo! Really? Yes!
Tickets to Cal Jam. You can have them.
Awesome! Cannot wait.
QMA on a plane to Cal Jam 17 in California to see the Foo Fighters playing songs off the brand new album Concrete and Gold featuring Run and The Sky Is a Neighbourhood at Friday, September 15. Listen tomorrow at 9:30, 11:30 and 1:30 on Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Rory Sloane is on the line from the Gold Coast.
Sloaney, how's Brody Smith? We saw pictures of him after he's had his operation. He's obviously fairly down in the dumps.
Yeah, definitely. I think something like that, it hit you pretty hard. I mean, boys have certainly kept his spirits up high and stayed in close contact. And once we get back from here, I'm sure everyone will go around and pop in and see him.
yeah, it's tough, and you definitely feel for him because he's had an outstanding year. And some of his defence work, he's known for his attacking stuff, I suppose, but what we loved about him this year is some of his defensive work. He's been one of our most, or probably one of our strongest defenders this year. And, we're certainly going to miss him during the someone else, and someone else does get an opportunity. So there's always a positive way to spin it.
How did Big Sauce go and the boys that went up to the funeral on the day after the game? It would have been a pretty emotional day for Sauce and the lads.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was an emotional couple of weeks for Big Sauce. And he had to, he put so much time and effort in just to make sure he could perform for us on that game. And after that, we certainly all looked after him and went down and supported him down in our dressing, which was a really great day. Couldn't be more proud of Sauce and the way he handled himself on that day.
Yeah, certainly did a good job on the Oval and against the GWS. What about Gold Coast? Just give us the top three in terms of players that look like they've gone back to their childhood up there and acting like they're on a family holiday. Is there any? Who's the one that looks most at home on the Dodgem cars or the Water World or whatever?
Oh, look, that's easy. There's one man that comes into his element when he's up here, and that's Tommy Lynch. Tommy Lynch, closely followed by Josh Jenkins and Rory Laird. So,
wow.
Tommy thought Rory, I think he thinks Rory's his little son. He's about the same size, and took him on a great experience to Dreamworld yesterday. I think they were padding tigers. And
yeah, there's a photo in the paper. I'll tell you what, I would not be getting near that tiger. It's unbelievable.
Well, the Tigers are going to have a big September too, by the looks.
It is unbelievable. If you look closely in that photo, you'll see Tommy's got some bright fluoro zinc on his lips, and it definitely suited him.
Redheads love the sun, don't they, Dits?
Yeah, we're naturals, yeah. Hey, Rory, good on you, mate. Thanks for taking our call. Enjoy yourself up there, and good luck for the rest of the finals, mate. Well done.
No worries at all, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Sloane. There is Rory Sloane.
Oh, what a September.
Triple M's. One night in September. Thanks to Sporty's Bar and Arena, the best place to watch every footy final live this September.
Roo, this is what we know so far. Have a listen to this lineup. BT, Brian Taylor, good morning.
Can't wait. Triple M Rock Football, let's
get into it.
Beauty.
Screaming Jets and the Angels frontman, Gleeso.
G'day, boys.
So we know you're going to, you know, belt out the odd Screaming Jets song, I guess, but what else are you going to do for us?
Oh, look, there might be a bit of AC/DC there. We might, and because it's one night in September, there'll definitely be some footy-themed songs.
Good,
that's
nice. Good. And this man is also going to be there.
Mantra! Oh!
It's the back of the year.
Mons.
And this fella.
To put the three goals in front.
We had to get Wangers along.
First onto the scene, I don't know, a few years ago now on the Channel 9 footy show. You might remember he won a competition for impersonating Sam Newman.
Yep.
And he's become Australia's most popular sporting impersonator, hasn't he?
Andrew Starton. Good morning, Andrew.
Sam Newman. He's with me at the moment.
Okay. Is he here?
All right, waking up.
I probably should have the ear to the ground and know what I'm talking about, but when you're 72 years of age and you're on a couple of mil a year, it's just best to not give a stuff about anything.
Yep.
Sammy Newman.
Now, we can announce a couple of more big names right now, Roo. What have you got for us?
Yeah, Tex Walker from the Crows will be there tomorrow night as well.
Beautiful.
We've got the big Tex coming along. And also Port Adelaide's Jackson Trengove is going to come along as well.
Well, so, do you know what we can ask him tomorrow night? Will he still be Port Adelaide's Jackson Trengove?
There'll be plenty to ask Jackson. We'll get a couple of frothies into him and really get the truth serum in there and find out exactly what's going on.
So a big night of comedy, football and fun and entertainment and music.
Yeah.
So it's all happening. Ring now, 133353. If you get through, we'll give you a double. And if you're a club member, a Triple M club member, we'll give you two doubles.
Yeah, this is all thanks to Sporty's Bar and Arena at the Arca Bar. Brilliant place to go and have a beer, have a punt, catch up with mates, watch sport. And obviously, plenty happening in the world of sport over the next few weeks. So if you're thinking about going and having a beer and watching it, go to Sporty's Bar and Arena.
All right, big night at the Arca Bar tomorrow night for us. In a moment, Roo, Hindley Street. There's talk they want to make it a one-way strip and improve it.
Outdoor dining.
More is it just a sleazy strip or can we actually turn it into a classy outdoor sort of precinct? We'll talk about this next.
Triple M Breakfast with Mark Rusciuto and Chris Dittmar.
7:42, ruined. It's on Triple M on this Tuesday morning. 13 outside. It'll be 21 today. Rue, Hindley Street.
Yes.
Can we pretty it up? Can we spruce it up and make it a, I don't know, a more friendlier sort of atmosphere down there?
Well, they're looking at it, Dits. All the businesses have been together. The Adelaide Mayor, Martin Hayes, he's having his say. Stephen Mulligan, the local Labor politician, certainly involved. They're talking about making it only go eastbound, so come from the Morfitt Street end and head back towards King William Street.
So one-way traffic?
One-way traffic. So they can.
So what does that do?
Well,
does that
I guess it makes it less dangerous by cars only going in one direction. They can widen the footpaths because they've only got one road for one car.
Mm-hmm.
They can put bike lanes in there though, so they can make it more bike-friendly. If they've got more width on the footpaths, they can put more outdoor dining.
Okay.
They can put more street art they're talking about. They want to try and pretty it up, make it more friendly, you know, try and curb antisocial behaviour.
Would it just be a wolf in sheep's clothing, though? Like, the underbelly of Hindley Street's always been pretty much the same, hasn't it?
Yep.
And look, I don't want to disadvantage any of the traders down there at all, but it's not a place I'd go to. I mean, contrary to when Helen rings on a Monday and suggests that I'm down there all the time, but it's just not a place that, you know, I don't know, someone of my age group and whatever, it's not a place I'd hang out. Yet I know that my sons, all of our kids, go. That's where all their nightclubs are, and they go down there all the time.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you could make it to the point where you'd want to go there and have lunch on a, you know, Friday or Thursday or whatever. I'm not sure if they want to try and make it like Arundel Street or something like that where you could go comfortably there. I'm not sure if that's what they're after or if that's what they're intending. I mean, there's a few good hotels on Hindley Street, isn't there? Like the Mayfair's just, you know, that's one of Adelaide's best hotels are there, and there's a couple of others. I can't think of their name. Oh, the Grand Chancellor.
Well, you got the Rosemont as well, as
Holiday
far as just
Inn.
A pub goes. Yeah, you got those big hotels.
Those sort of big hotels that are there.
At the moment, put it this way, what I'm probably alluding to is if you're a parent listening right now and your 17-year-old or 18-year-old daughter says, I'm going out to Hindley Street tonight, Mum, you're probably shuddering, aren't you? You're probably thinking, I'd rather my son or daughter didn't hang out down Hindley Street.
Yep, I think that's.
Would
probably,
you agree?
I think that's fair to say. I mean, I'm not into that bracket yet, and you're probably past it with your kids.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair comment.
Mm.
But I don't know. I don't know if this sort of stuff's going to make it better. They're talking about improved lighting, which would be a good thing for at night. That could make it a bit safer as well. I'm not sure if outdoor dining is going to curb antisocial behaviour. If anything, if you're sitting out there drinking pints and carrying on, it might even increase the chance that while you're walking through that you're going to have people having a crack at each other.
Who was it a year or two ago? Was it our police commissioner that said nothing good happens after midnight out in the streets or whatever? Someone famous said it, but
a lot of people say that. The people who say that don't want people out after midnight.
But I would have to concur, though, that nothing good happens in Hindley Street if you're there after about 2 a.m. surely.
Yeah, well, most of the people there would disagree with that because that's when they're there. They're there from, you know, they're probably hardly ever there before midnight, and you know, there to up to 5 in the morning. Probably prime time is probably 2 or 3 in the morning, but. Yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, the better it looks during the day and the better it functions during the day, and it can only be good for the state. I mean, there's a lot of people who come up Peel Street and Lee Street and up from North Terrace and all those sort of areas, that whole section through there up to the Central Market and stuff. I suppose a lot of interstaters are going through that area, so the better it is. And the better it is for the state, I suppose.
But I suppose. I mean, can we spruce it up? Do you think this will work? 133-53. What should we do with Hindley Street? Do we just leave it as it is and let the sort of clientele that already goes down there, let them hang out there?
It's getting busy. I reckon it's busier than it's ever been.
It is. No, it's packed. Yeah, for sure. What do you think about Hindley Street?
One of the Royal Adelaide Hospital in full flight up there. There's going to be how many thousand people wandering up from that end of town as well? Probably going to get a lot busier.
Yeah.
All the uni stuff, all the development along North Terrace.
All right, maybe we do need to polish it up a bit.
Mm.
All right, might be a good idea. What do you think, Adelaideans? 133-53, what do you think about Hindley Street? Speaking of which, we're talking about Hindley Street.
Yes.
Now, is it worth doing it up, seriously, or do we just leave it as it is and let it just keep on being busy and chockers until 5 a.m. every weekend? I don't know.
Oh, we've got a, I think we've got a tourist on the line here, Jed from Melbourne. Good morning, Jed.
Oh, good day, guys. How you going?
Good. What are you doing over in Adelaide? Just coming over for a holiday?
Oh, no, we've just been over for the Adelaide show. Just running a couple exhibitions there, so just finished up for the year.
Yeah, so you've been down Hindley Street for a look, have you?
Yeah, look, we come each year and we stay around that area. And to be honest with you, you've built such a lovely city, and we've seen how Adelaide's developed over the last 10 years. You've put in new hospitals, you've put in all these sports stadiums here. They've done the East End up very nicely. All these little laneways, we just feel that Hindley Street's the only thing letting down the city as a whole.
What would you like to see there?
To be honest with you, it would be much nicer if you could swallow it up.
If you could what?
If you could swallow it up. You've got a universities that have built everything quite nice down there. If you continue the university hub the whole way up until Rundle Mall and let Rundle Mall continue to the university hub,
yeah,
I just think that it'd be much nicer.
Do you think, is our show good compared to like the Royal Melbourne show or others that you go to?
To be honest, it's actually one of the best performing in Australia next to Sydney for us.
Okay. Wow. That's good. And what's your line of work?
So basically I manufacture a whole lot of kids and home products.
Yep. Sells fairy floss.
Oh, you would have made some money out of me if you did, because my kids came home with a few bags the other day and went hypo for 2 days.
Yeah. Right, that's of course the case.
No, that's good, Jed.
Good on you,
thanks
Jed.
For calling in, mate.
Yeah,
well
good
done,
on you, Jed.
Someone from Melbourne, their perspective on it. That's great.
Let's go to West Lakes. G'day, Paul.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Good, Paul.
Good, mate. I just reckon someone brought up a point about the lighting. I reckon it's really dull and a bit dingy down there these days. I reckon if they lit it up a bit and made it a bit more attractive to go down there, it might help it a bit.
Yeah,
I reckon.
It would certainly make it safer. Having said that, when you're out and about, certainly when you're drinking in a pub, one of the worst things that can happen is the lights are too bright. So when you're cruising down the street at Hindley Street, you probably don't want it too bright.
I suffered all my life with that, didn't I? I was dancing and then the lights came on and she went, oh, you're kidding.
Dancers on the dance
Bloody
floor.
Hell.
Yeah, so, all right.
But if you we wind the clock back, remember the East End used to be a bit daggy as well, and how nice is it now? So they obviously spent some money on the East End and did it up, and Rundle Street East is a nice place to go.
It is, but do we want to cater for all different types of people? We want to have an area for youngies, because Sydney are just fuming over there about what they've done with their lockouts over there. They reckon they've totally stuffed the nightlife over there. Do we want to do that here? And
well, again, like you've always said, Ruth, it'll send things underground, won't it?
Oh, it does. Absolutely, it does. It's where it used to be. But anyway, they're looking at doing it, and we'll find out what happens in the too distant future.
All right, Ruined It's for Breakfast here on Triple M, not far away from Money Money Music. $1,500 up for grabs, not too far away now. 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Now, Roo, last week I had a little tongue-in-cheek go at spray paint.
No, you backed over it again this morning.
And then this morning I did it again. I was like, oh, look, I'm only having fun, but boy, have we got a...
I reckon you mean it.
Anyway, my mate Rocco's on the line. Now, Rocco, at one point in time, owned a big joint out north, Carisbrook Crash Repairs. Now he owns all transport crash repairs.
So he knows how hard it
knows
is
how to
spray
fix
paint.
Trucks and buses and trains, everything that crashes. So he would know more than any of us about the old spray painter.
Especially
in the
world. You.
Righto, let's get him on. Rocco, good morning.
Good morning, Chris. Good morning, boys.
How does it take 4 years to learn to spray paint something? The apprenticeship is 4 years. Surely you just hold a gun and spray it and point it at the car, don't you?
Chris, how long take to have an apprenticeship in Swash?
Well, some would say I never got any good at that either.
You never pass that in the end, Rocco.
Well, what do you have to learn?
You've got the message, boys. No, really, look, everything that's like, for instance, Chris, you just made an interesting point. Think about this. When you have a crash in a car, people are so critical when they pick it up. The paint colour that they match has got to be perfect. Otherwise, you're in trouble, as you know. And that's one thing when it comes to painting. But when it comes to crash repairs, there's never, ever an accident that's exactly the same, is there?
That's right.
So, well, what do you mean?
But I mean, you have an accident, but then everything you repair
is slightly different. It might be hit harder on the left, harder on the right. And when you pick it up in the crash bear shop, it's got to look better than when you went before the accident.
Hang on. So in 4 years, you learn the difference between left and right, do you?
Yeah, right.
Now, what year did you start being a crash repairer, Rock?
Well, it's interesting. I started in 1965. I now got some playing cards, Chris. I must give you boys a package. Been in business 50 years. In 1965 we started, so it's already been 52 years.
Did you have to do an apprenticeship back then, or did you learn on the job?
Well, Chris, don't tell anybody, but I never did an apprenticeship.
Hey, Rocco, what do you think of the rebirth of the name Rocco? It's coming back.
Mate, you're a bloody champion. When I heard that, I couldn't get over it. I thought, what a great name. What a great name.
Now, you know, Rui, I've known this bloke all my life. He is mad, and he also, the one downfall, he barracks for Centrals. He's always been a Centrals man.
Oh, a mad Central supporter. Yeah. That goes hand in hand, dude.
Yeah, all right. Anyway, good on you, Rock. Thanks for helping us out, mate.
No worries, mate. Thanks for the time, and we'll speak again, Chris.
Good on you, mate.
Bye, good on you, Rocco.
Rocco, he's got all transport crash, so if you crash your truck, Rui, or your bus or your train or anything like that, he can fix it.
Yeah, it was nice of you to just highlight it takes 4 years to work out your left and your right.
Pay me my money.
Triple M's. Money, money, music.
Thanks to Instant Scratch, it's Instant Millionaires Club Ticket.
You could be one scratch away from becoming a millionaire.
Entrance must be 18 or over.
Gamble responsibly.
Well, it's an easy way to win $1,500, I reckon, Roo. Start off with $100 first. Who have you got on the line?
Damien from Morphettville. G'day, Damien.
How you going, fellas?
You're not as good as you, mate. You up and about today?
Oh, look, I'm a little nervous, but I'm up and about.
Don't be nervous,
now,
mate.
Damien, you sound like a young fella. Just how old are you?
I'm only 22.
22, righto. And I only asked that so I know what sort of music you might be into. So what do you reckon, Roo? 22-year-old, is he going to know these?
Yep, absolutely. Yep,
all right. Yep. Damien, this is for $100 first up.
All right, perfect. Here we go. I got me a car. It's as big as a whale. And we're heading on down to the Love Shack. I got me a Chrysler. It seats about 20. So hurry up.
No idea.
Oh,
so
Damien.
Hurry up.
Oh, no.
So hurry up.
Hurry up and bring your jukebox money.
Now, right. Damien,
that's
where
the only,
did you pluck that?
That's the
gone from,
only free kick
you've
you're
gone
getting.
From no idea to.
Oh,
to,
Rui helped me out a little bit there.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Now,
well
listen
done.
To Dibs. There's no more helping happening.
That was B52's Love Shack. Now, you've got $100. You can take it or you can play for $500.
That one stumped me, so I reckon I might take it.
Take the $100.
Oh, I'm not a greedy sort of fella, dude.
All right,
Damien. Take the 100. Let's have a crack for 500,
just
mate.
See if you would have got this one, all right?
All right.
She was the best damn woman I had ever seen. She had the sightless eyes telling me no lies.
Oh, sound a bit young for that song.
Yeah,
knocking me out with those American thighs.
Yeah.
I've heard it, but I wouldn't never have got it.
No. Okay, all right, mate. Well, you can take $100, Damien. Well done.
Hey, thanks, fellas.
All thanks, right. Damien.
There you go.
$100.
What about the next one? The wag would be all over this. All right, this is for $1,500. All right, hypothetically, that's the way it's going to be, little darling. We'll be riding on the horses, yeah, way up in the sky, little darling.
Oh, easy.
Yeah.
And
if you
I reckon that was a very gettable three for the right person.
I think Damien was just a bit young for that sort of music, wasn't he?
Mm.
But anyway, he won $100.
Yeah.
In a moment, Rui and Ditz's Angels are going to join us.
Yep.
Rui and Ditz for breakfast. The hard-hitting topics. The big issues.
Well, not really.
Let's ask the angels.
Good morning, angels.
Good morning, Rui and Ditz.
We've got Mel the button pusher, Alice the wag, who today is orange, isn't she, Rui?
Yeah.
She got the
tandoori.
Tandoori.
Tandoori, about it.
She got the McGarry medal tonight. She got the fake tan yesterday.
It says natural on the bottle, so.
Very natural. Yeah, no, we're all orange.
And Ange, married to the package, Mr. South Australia. How are you, Ange?
Morning, good, thank you.
Ditz, righto.
I just want to know about spray tanning, because you and I have never been there. Girls, what happens when you go and get a spray tan? Do you do it yourself? Do you Are you nude? Are you, you know, do you, how does it work?
Seriously, dude, have you seen what colour I am? Have you noticed?
Yeah.
And she's,
good point, Ange.
Somehow.
Ange is West Indian, dark. So she doesn't go for this.
I can't contribute to this conversation because I've never had one.
No, okay. All right, Wag, tell us, just for the blokes out there, what happens when you get a spray tan? What happens?
So you go in and you have to put a hair like net on, and you also get given a paper G-string.
A paper G-string.
Yeah, right. Which aren't the most flattering things to wear. So you go into this little room and they step out and then you get full nutty except the paper G-string. And then they come in and they're holding like a spray gun, kind of what you'd paint the house with.
Well, Dits would do some spray painting with.
Yeah, yeah. You're good at that, Dits. Yeah.
4-year apprenticeship.
Mm-hmm. And then you stand and she's like, right, arms up, arms down, arms flat, and then like turn to the left, turn to the right, give me your back, and then like bend over, lift your butt cheeks.
Bend over?
Not like full bend over, but you have to kind of push your bum out a little bit so you don't get the crease underneath the butt cheeks of the tan.
Who will be seeing that, by the way, when you got your gown on tonight?
Like people that see you naked, I guess.
Well, how many is
Joel.
That?
Well, just Joel this stage.
Then what's
And then, you do all that and then you stand there like with all your legs and arms spread apart like a robot and she pulls like a hairdryer out and has to dry you everywhere.
Right.
And is it always a girl?
I wouldn't probably do it with a boy because it's a bit awkward. And then it takes probably about maybe 15 minutes. And then you kind of drive home like a robot and you're all a bit sticky and then you sleep in it and then you have the shower the next morning to wash
and
it off.
And how much does this experience cost?
I think it's about $30 or something.
So it sounds like you didn't pay.
Actually, I went with a girl and when I got there, she'd already shouted me. So that was so nice. Thanks, Alice.
Righto.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to today's topics now. Would you believe, Roo? I don't know. I think a lady did this survey. Women drivers are better than male drivers. Now, seriously,
why? Because they go about 10 kilometres an hour, they never have rain.
But surely, one thing I'd like to pick this survey up on is that try and watch a woman reverse park into a space. No, seriously. I have about 20 goes normally.
I just tell her to get out and I'll do it. Just takes that long.
For God's sake, Mel the button pusher, yes. Are women better drivers?
I think so, yes. It doesn't all boil down to things like reverse parking, although I'm very good at it.
It's pretty important.
I'm great at reverse parking, and I do like knowing people can do it. I think women, because I've lived in every city in Australia, and I think Adelaide is some of the, generally speaking, worst drivers in the country.
Oh, come on.
They are. So you get cut off a lot. People do silly things on the roads a lot. And I find the difference between men and women is that men don't let that go, drive a little bit aggressively because they're a bit annoyed at the person who just did such and such.
Whereas you can't lose.
Whereas I think women just drive a bit more carefully, a bit more defensively, get over that stuff and get where they're going a bit more
Mel,
safely.
Next time you're at a supermarket and you're waiting for that space and someone cuts in and nicks your space, just see if it's a man or a woman. When you're talking about politeness and courtesy.
I reckon it would be a bloke.
It's not. It's always a woman. Always.
Oh, that's because they do the shopping. It's not the shopping. Is that what you meant?
Rue, are women drivers better?
I wouldn't have thought. No, I can't. I couldn't plead that case. I couldn't argue that case. Ange?
Well, I always say to my husband, I've never had an accident. And he said, you've caused about a million.
There you go.
Which is not true. I don't know. I think I see more aggression with males on the road.
Mm-hmm.
But I think females are probably more careful. But in saying that, sometimes if you're going, 30 in a 60 zone, it's probably not great either.
Alice?
I want to get up on my high horse and, really dispute this, but I actually kind of agree because I'm not a very good driver. I'm actually so good at reverse parallel parking if there's no one watching and there's no one in my car.
Oh, you don't like the pressure.
As soon as there's any pressure, it's like I panic and end up going in about 50 times.
Yeah.
And then drive off.
And then, go, I didn't want it anyway. I'm really busy, actually. Sorry, I can't go.
All right, next topic. When you have an argument at home, right, what do you like at making up? Now, do you do the silent treatment for days and days, or are you the couple that you just can never, ever go to bed on an argument? Mel the button pusher.
We fight rarely, thank God, because I hate it. It makes me feel sick.
Don't lie, Mel.
No, it's true. I always win. I win quick. Decisively. The maximum I could go is overnight and I just can't stand it. It stresses me out.
Well, you can't go to bed without saying goodnight.
I could one night.
Mm.
And then I'm still thinking about it the whole time and I feel awful. But I also can't compromise. So if I think I'm right, I cannot let that go and just move on and just go, look, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be friends again.
Right.
No. Yeah. So, yeah, one time recently Danny actually said, look, let's just both say we're sorry and move on.
Yeah,
well,
that's a good
way. Well, I still don't think I'm wrong, though.
Oh, I see that.
Then you could have a really long
one. And then it starts again.
Right. Mm. Yeah. Roo, what do you like?
I don't like going to bed without saying goodnight, but I can easily do it. I can do it. I'll have a little quiet space for a while, but then if I'm right, I'll maybe go again and prod her and say, any chance you're going to apologise yet? Have you worked out you're wrong yet? Or are you just going to stick, you know, try and hang tough and try and stick it out? So I'm happy to throw a bit of petrol on the fire if I'm in the wrong mood. Brekkie Radio will do that to you when you get tired.
I find it easy to go to bed without saying goodnight because I'm in the spare room. Right, Alice the Wagon.
You'd go days without talking, Dits, just to prove yourself right.
No, I can't believe Dits argues.
No, that wouldn't happen. No.
I've been known a couple of times, like if we do have a big argument just before bed and like I know I'm right and I don't want to like talk to him anymore. You just make him feel really bad and you go and put your best pair of like lingerie on. And then as he's getting into bed, you kind of just walk past and look really hot. And then he like instantly regrets having the fight.
Oh, my
God. Dreaming.
You have to get the sorry out of him. No, I've done it a few times and it actually works because then like they just want you so bad. They'll be like, I'm really sorry for what I said. You're like, oh, yeah, I was right, was I? Okay.
Oh, Alice,
you're talking garbage.
Yeah. Ange, what do you like with fights?
I'll put my flannelettes on and, and just let me go to sleep.
Enjoy the peace and quiet.
Yeah, exactly. We can probably go. We're as stubborn as each other, but probably only one night.
Dangerous.
Yeah, one night I reckon max. Yeah. But then silent treatment. Yeah, that's probably the worst. And that although Rob will try and make me laugh, and then I get more angry because I want to be angry, but he's trying to make me laugh. You know. So
well, that's a good tactic.
But probably one night max of silent, and then the next day we kind of go, you got kids, you just have to talk at some point, you know.
Mm-hmm. Then you jump in the sack and go for it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the finish we wanted. Anyway, thanks, Angels.
Thank you.
Coming up to 8:29, ruined it on Triple M.
Oh, God, you were down in the dumps yesterday. Your bottom lip was on the ground. You were giving nothing. You didn't give a stuff about the show.
And
I was surprised you even rocked up.
Thanks for your sympathy, too.
Oh, I felt like giving it to you yesterday. But you know what? I love you too much, Dits. I couldn't do it. But after 3 hours of you crying and whinging and, you know, not wanting to talk about the Crows and, you know, whinging about umpiring decisions and, Koshy did the right thing, he's firing them up. I thought, stuff this. I rang Alice and I said, let's prank Dits. We've got to stitch him up. So what we decided to
do. Kick me when I'm down.
Well, you needed a bit of a kick and you needed a snap out of it. And so we rang Lee Simon. Now, he is the head of football on Triple M. He's based in Melbourne. He's a big wig.
He's our big boss.
And when Lee calls, you listen to Lee. So we got Lee to give Dits a call, and this is how it went.
Hello.
Hey, Dits.
Yeah.
Lee Simon.
Okay, Lee, how are you?
Probably a little bit better than you are at the moment. I'm kind of used to my beloveds having absolutely nothing to do with September, but how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. I've taken all the knives out of the kitchen and
stay away from sharp objects and stuff.
That's right. Great game, though.
Mate, it was a great game, and I thought you and BT called the living daylights out of it. I thought you were just on song for the first part of the broadcast anyway. And then, Jesus, mate, I don't know if you've had a chance to have a listen back, but it became pretty evident really early in the first quarter that a little bit of your soul disappeared, mate. And I'm not saying you were barracking, but you could tell that your shoulders had dropped a bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What, you didn't think so?
No. I'll be honest, all night I kept talking up West Coast Eagles, and even in the aftermatch I kept saying how brilliant they were.
Maybe I'm just reading between the lines, mate, but it was evident to me that you were just sort of saying it for the sake of saying it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I apologise. Honestly, I didn't feel it. I thought we were... trying to call it as best as possible. But
I've never questioned your professionalism in my life, and I'm not going to start it now. But No, I thought Saturday night you actually let your colours show through a little bit. And even this morning, Fitzy and I were doing a monitor because we were a bit concerned about Mick Molloy in Melbourne. But he, obviously with the Tigers getting up. But listening to you and Roo this morning as well, just thought, Jesus, you were almost phoning it in.
Yeah. All right.
You don't think so?
No, I'm happy to. I'm listening to your feedback. I didn't think at the time, I must admit, but look, you know, if it sounds that way, then it does. I take that on board for sure.
Okay.
No problem.
And, you know, obviously we're looking ahead. Obviously there's a game over there very soon as well, and we really need to evaluate who we're going to be putting on air for it. And,
yep.
You know, unless we can play it straight up and down the line, mate, it's going to be a bit of a concern. We might have to look at somebody else.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Geez, you're taking it well.
I've got to. I am a Port person. I don't want to be accused of being biased or barracking or whatever. So
yeah, but
I try my best not to.
Yeah, and mate, everyone knows you're a Port person, but you normally don't make it that evident in when you're calling the game.
Have you got any examples?
Mate, best thing, listen from about the 10-minute mark of the first quarter when it was evident the Port were in a lot of trouble.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
No worries.
Mate, hey, not a capital offence, but just a bit disappointing, especially from you.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. No, thanks for the feedback. I'll have a listen and look into it
and take it on board, yeah.
Yeah, no worries.
And while you're at it, why don't you give Rashido a clip for setting me up to do this one with you?
Oh, f***. What a
You can't say that.
You had me going. I owe you.
I've got to be real careful all going right. forward, don't I? Good on you, mate.
Thanks, mate.
All
right,
the
mate,
best.
Mate.
See ya.
Oh, you took it so nicely.
No, don't worry. I was burning inside. I was thinking, he had me. I will tell you now, absolutely 1,000,000% had me.
Yeah, I couldn't believe you didn't fire up. You just got too much respect for Lee.
Well, trying to keep my job. Now, I did call you a rude word at the end.
Yeah, that's all right. Now, we felt so bad for you yesterday, and we wanted to get you up. So I've organised, and here comes Alice is coming in the studio. We know this is your favourite bit of food. We've got you a full carrot cake.
That's the biggest carrot cake.
It's a beautiful carrot cake. Ditz loves his carrot cake, listeners out there. And
nice
he has a little slice of carrot cake every now and then when he wants to feel good about himself. So Freddie downstairs at Canetto, where we get our coffees every now and then, is his mum. Old Lebanese ladies cooked up a beautiful carrot
thanks,
cake.
Thanks, Freddie.
For Ditz.
And thanks, Roo and Mel and
that's
Alice.
All right.
Thank you.
Now, the 24-hour, you've got to get over the loss now. All right? So eat some carrot. We'll have some carrot cake and a coffee in this break.
It's going to take until round one.
All right? You've got to move on, all right?
Right.
All right, you happy?
Yeah, thanks.
All right, let's go.
Ruin Ditz overnight sports. Buy four, get more at Nexus Tyres today.
We spoke to Rory Sloane earlier this morning, Roo, and he was telling us all about their training up there on the Gold Coast, and he was very, very positive about the trip, wasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Got a few days up there. They are training. They're doing heaps of recovery stuff. They're just trying to freshen up, get a bit of sun, bit of bonding, sort of reevaluate where they're at and what they've got to do and get really focused because extremely abnormal to have 15 days between games, and they've already had a week off a couple of weeks ago. So they're up there doing that. They'll come back tonight or tomorrow. Some are doing it tomorrow, and then they've got about, 8 days left. It's after that and do 8 or 9 days to the next game.
Couldn't have explained it, but I think Wet and Wild's the perfect preparation for prelim final. Anyway, at Alberton, the players will be having their exit meetings this week. And, of course, Jackson Trengo is the most interesting one right now, isn't he?
Yep. What do you reckon, Ditz? Is he going or staying?
I think he'll be going.
Yep, I think he's gone.
And I'd love to see him stay. I think he's been great for us. But,
yep. I think Bulldogs and the Blues are the clubs they're talking about.
Yep.
What were you about to say when I cut you off?
Oh, only that he's been great. However, I think Ken's played his cards in recent weeks with Dougal Howard, Todd Marshall. I think we can see how he's heading.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, Jackson doesn't fit anymore. So
yep.
And now, speaking of Ken Hinckley, a lot of talk on the footy shows, and I know you watched most of them last night on the various channels. A lot of talk still linking him with the Gold Coast coaching job.
Yeah, not necessarily from the fact that Ken's looking to go there, more from the fact that the Gold Coast are chasing him because of his history there. They want an experienced coach. They're going to be prepared to offer him a 4 to 5 year deal on reasonable size money.
Yeah.
So put yourself in Ken's shoes. Ken at this stage is contracted the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Even the club have said they're going to renegotiate over the summer, which is when Ken said he wanted to do it.
Yep.
So there's no funny buggers about why he's not signed for next year, but they were all saying last night they're going to make a big play for him. So let's just wait and see. But if you listen to anyone at Port Adelaide, he's not going anywhere.
Well, that's right. Despite the loss over the weekend, I think he would be excited by what he's got there, that young squad. And I just mentioned Howard and Marshall, and there are many others as well. So
heaps of them. Got a good young list.
Yeah.
So let's wait and see what happens there.
McGarry Medal tonight, and we know this because Alice the Wag is coming with fake tan all over her this morning.
Yep.
Looking orange.
Central District's Nick Holman, one of the favourites. Nord's Matthew Pennants and Mitch Grigg would be up there. And Joel Cross himself, Jewel McGarry medalist, would be very, very close. Shane Mumford's out of the GWS team as well as on top of Jeremy Cameron, who's been ruled out for the hammy for the rest of the finals. And there's some talk that West Coast could get Nick Natanui up for this weekend. Now, I don't know how realistic that is. But there was footage of him celebrating after the final siren. If you've had a look at that on social media, it's quite a laugh. But wait and see what happens there.
That's our look at sport. Buy four, get more at Maxxis Tyres today.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
History made at the MCG.
Triple M's last fan standing bus.
Thanks to Harvey Norman, the big screen specialists for the footy finals.
Aru, this could be a lot of fun. Could be a little bit brutal and harsh as well, though.
Oh, that's what we're like on Triple M.
Tell us what's happening.
Oh, what's happening is we're going to have a bus full of Triple M finalists. And on the day before the grand final, they're going to leave Adelaide en route to Melbourne.
Yep.
And throughout the way, passengers will be faced with temptations and challenges resulting in them being kicked off the bus.
Oh, no.
All right. So at the end of the road, the last fan standing along with his mate will be crowned the winner and win the grand prize of the ultimate 2017 Toyota AFL Grand Final experience.
Right, so now, how can they enter?
They can go to triplem.com.au and enter the last fan standing. So there's going to be 12 winners. So 12 winners plus their mates on the bus heading to Melbourne, hopefully to see the Crows in the grand final. And if you're a Port fan, hopefully to see someone else in the grand final. But it's not far away. This is another sensational prize. Gee, we've got pressure test, money music. Tomorrow night we've got a big function. We'll give away some tickets to the Crows prelim final next week, we're led to believe. Yeah. So this is just another great idea that Triple M are rolling out. So go to triplem.com.au and enter, because this is going to be a ripping trip to Melbourne.
It is. All thanks to Harvey Norman, the big screen specialist for the footy finals. If you want a big screen telly, go and see the great people at Harvey Norman. Ruined It's here on Triple M. 8:58, Ruined It's thanks to Southern Volkswagen. Roo, just before we go, our big friend is back from London.
Iron Hayden.
He's back. He'll be doing 40 minutes of non-stop music just after 9. But he returned on the weekend with Dead Set Legends and stumbled and bumbled his way. Talk about out of practice. Jeez.
That's coming your way between now and 12:30, folks.
And very soon, boys, we'll have our catch-up up at triplem.com.au on our free app as well, which will have all the audio uncut.
Slow down. You've had 6 chocolates in your mouth.
What I was saying is David Koch gave a speech at the members' post-game last night, and it's caused a bit of a spur and left a lot of people speechless.
I thought I'm the only one that snapped up the English.
Anyway.
Gee, when are you getting speech lessons from KG? That's, you know your career's on the slide.
And he wouldn't have six chocolates in his mouth at once, hey, would he?
It'd be more than that.
It'd be more than that.
Yeah. Anyway, we love Big Iron Hayden. He's back. He's back with 40 minutes of non-stop music.
Very, very shortly. Have a great day, everyone. We'll be back with Jackson Trengove tomorrow. Tomorrow is our one night in September function as well. Big Mal will be with us tomorrow. Got another huge show coming up. Dits, get stuck into that carrot
cake.
Thanks,
mate. Blah, 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 my prosciutto twisted mom. Now they're going to depart. My prosciutto twisted